Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Amen. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you. This is a great time of year where much of this nation, there'd be some recognition of who you are or what Christmas is about, even though it's pretty commercial. There is still some sense that it's about Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you that even though the world is on one track with what Christmas is all about, as far as they're concerned, we thank you that you are taking us off the beaten track. Father, I thank you that not just today, but the new year, as we come into 2011, you want us to go places with you where we've never been before, where nobody's trod before, so that we really come into a place of having to trust you, be totally dependent on you, to be interdependent on one another in a way we've never seen, never known before in our lives. Father, we thank you. You want to take us into these sort of unbeaten, untrodden paths and tracks or whatever with the praise and worship, in prayer, in revelation of your word, in just revelation of who you are, the freshness of our relationship with you. Thank you, Father, that you are ready to breathe upon us, every one of us, whatever age we are, whatever, whether in here or upstairs or over at Roffey Place. Thank you, you're ready to breathe afresh into every person that is open, any person that is showing any kind of God, do something in me, or who is God? What's he like? I'd like to know him. Father, whether somebody knows you or doesn't know you, thank you, you're ready to breathe upon us in a fresh way. Father, I thank you for just a new desire and longing in every person's life in Kingdom Faith. Here down in Horsham, but also up in Scarborough, over down in the southwest with the guys in Taunton, up in London there with all the relating churches in this nation and other nations. Anybody who has any kind of partnering relationship with us, who connects with us in whatever way, Father, I thank you for the freshness of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that as we seek you in a fresh way, that you come and move amongst us, you do something new, you revive us in a way we've never known before. Father, we're not repeating history, we're not looking at something we've trodden before, but you're taking us into places we've never been. And Father, I thank you even this morning for just that spark, even though it's Christmas time and many of us are going to have a bit of time off in some ways, a few days or whatever it might be. I thank you you're wanting to captivate our hearts all the way through into next year. Father, I just want to give you the space in my own life. I want to continue doing that. Give you the space to do new things, something new in me. Father, I want to give you the space for us as a church, that you just do something new amongst us as we come into the new year. Maybe some of our plans are going to be scrapped. Maybe things are going to change because you get hold of us in a fresh way, or we allow you to get hold of us in a fresh way, and therefore things just begin to change. Stuff drops off that is not right, or stuff that's not in line with you, or some things just drop off our lives just because we have a new desire to know you in a greater way, and other things just don't interest us in the same way as they maybe do now. But Father, it's got to be a work of your grace. It can't be something we strive for in our own effort. But as we do seek you and set ourselves to position ourselves, set ourselves, put us, I don't know, take some time aside in a way we haven't before, that gives you the room to come and breathe and move afresh in every one of our lives. I thank you, Jesus. Just thank the Lord. He's going to take you to the unbeaten tracks that you've never known before, if you let him. Hey, Just thank you, Jesus. Just tell him if you're available. God, I want you to do that in my life. Over today, these coming weeks into the new year, take me off the beaten track. I don't want to go around the same paths I've been before. I don't want to do the same steps I've done before. I don't want to look at the same scenery that I've seen before. I don't want to have the same perception of life that I've had before. I don't want to look at people and see them in the same way I have before. I don't want to see my own life in the way I've seen it before. I don't even want to see you in the way I've known you before. There's more of you to discover, more of you to be revealed, to see people in a different way, to see life in a different way. Father, I thank you that you open up the whole perspective, your perspective, the whole vista of the life that you've given me in a fresh way, so that there's something just alive and kicking in me in a new way, that I see everything, that you make all things new, Father. I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just say hi to somebody as you sit down. You can say a bit more than that if you want. Brilliant. Okay, we just this sheet that you've got, man, it's thin on the ground this morning, isn't it? Some people obviously got stuck where they were. Well done for braving it out there. Well, it's not quite Arctic out there, is it? But let's pretend it is, and that we've done a great job getting here this morning on our sledges with our reindeer and all of that lot. Yeah, huskies and everything. I'm still praying that January is going to be like the summer. I don't know if anybody is joining with me for that one. I don't like this stuff, so I like to be nice and warm. Do you like that? Just that, you feel warm all the time. I know Jonathan Croft, he loves skiing, the snow and all of that. We're going to plant a church out in Switzerland, somewhere where there's lots of snow, mate, and you can go and plant that and run a ski school and all of that. We'll have lots of people wanting to go there on mission trips, yeah? Anyway, right, if you've got one of these sheets, we are going to look at this and refer to it and just go through and fill out some of the bit more information on it. But that's really just a help kind of guide to just put a little bit of a framework for us. We want to look at a few other things first. If you want to turn to Job 11, look at a few verses there, then we look at some in Genesis, and then some in Leviticus, and one or two elsewhere. And I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about the new year. And got a lot of expectation just building, in terms of what God's going to do amongst us and through us, and then what next year is going to be like in the nation. There's a stirring going on in loads of other churches as well. There's another church in town also doing a 40-day fast in the beginning of the year, which is going to be great. And we only found that out the other day. And there's a number of other churches we know of who are doing the same kind of thing in different ways. So God's stirring. He wants us to not go into next year doing the same thing as we came into this year doing. You know, if we want God to do something new, then how many of you know we've got to make space for that? That we can't sort of ask God to do something new amongst us, but we carry on doing the same things the same way in our lives, the same schedules, the same timetables, the same, you know, whatever it might be, that we need to give space for God to actually come and do what he wants to do amongst us. And in that process, your desires change. Yeah. Come on. How do you develop a desire in your life? Just bit by bit. Right. One chew after another. Yeah, one little sip after another. That's how you develop a desire in your life. That you begin to taste something, you begin to do something, and little by little, as you begin to do that, you begin to build a desire. And as you get a desire for something, maybe some other things that you gave your time to or gave yourself to begin to be starved of your interest or starved of your time or starved of your desire. Therefore, it kind of loses its appetite, you know, in your life and begins to drop off because you're getting an appetite for something else or something more. And that's how things seem to grow and develop in our lives. We know God can turn up and move and do something phenomenal. But, often it starts with us doing something where we take a step, we take another step. And there's something of saying, God, I really do desire you in a fresh way. I do really want you. Because if we want something, our actions then line up with what we want. But how many of you know there's a difference between liking something and wanting something? But it's quite simple to move from I'd like this to happen to I want this to happen just by making a few little decisions to start with, saying I'm just going to set myself for a few minutes and just pray for a bit longer than I normally do. I'm just going to worship here and just keep going for a few more minutes than I normally do, because I want to just go past that normal stitch moment that I have. You know, when you're running in a race, and you're running away, not that I run anymore, I do the old cross trainer because it's a lot nicer on the old knees and joints and everything. But, you know, I remember, you know, when you used to, maybe you still do if you're young enough or your body's a bit better shape than mine. But, you know, you're running a race and you get to that point where you get a stitch. And everything in you wants to stop at that moment, doesn't it, and give up. But actually, if you just keep going, and just you get past, and suddenly you get a new kind of burst of energy. And you break through into another little realm that you thought wasn't possible because of what was trying to stop you. And I think, you know, when we seek the Lord, or when God wants to meet with us in a fresh way, I believe there's a little bit of a stitch moment, or some stitch moments that go on in our lives. Because our flesh doesn't want to seek the Lord. Our flesh just wants to, for you know, have a great time, fulfilling itself, feeding itself. And our spirit, though, is crying out for more of the life of God to be flowing through our mind, our emotions, our will, our body, our heart, our whole being. And so your spirit on one level is saying, God, you know, fill this person fully with our spirit's crying out saying, God, I want to know you. But yet your flesh is also going, no, don't do that, because that'll be boring. You want to just get into this, that and the other and just take it easy over here. And your soul in the middle is kind of caught a little bit, saying, well, hang on a minute. You know, one minute there's this desire rising up and my mind is thinking the thoughts of Christ and thinking the word, and my emotions are in line with the spirit and it seems to be going good, and my body's, you know, enjoying it and expressing God. But then there's also these other desires, and when I seem to feed those, then my mind seems to wander more. My mind seems to be thinking about those things. Even when I've got my hands in the air, my mind is still somewhere else. Or when I'm trying to pray, I'm thinking about this and that and the other. So how do you deal with that quandary that is in your life? Because sometimes we think, I just need a breakthrough. I just need the Holy Spirit to just turn up, do it all, change it all, and then it'll be all right. But how do we change that? It's like bit by bit, little by little. Sometimes it feels like you're not getting anywhere. Sometimes it feels like nothing's happening. Sometimes it feels like you're hitting your head against a brick wall. But actually, what are you doing? You're just building up a fresh desire that's not based on feelings or emotions or an experience. It's based on just beginning to cultivate a fresh desire. Jesus, I want to know you. And I want to give you space and a bit more time to do something fresh in me. And so in order to do that, I'm going to choose to set aside certain things. And instead of spending some of that time doing that, I choose to spend some of that time with you instead, because I want to cultivate something fresh. I want to give you space for you to come and do something fresh in me. So I'm going to make an intentional decision to give myself to you in a fresh way each day. And so therefore denying some of the stuff that I might do with my time. And some of that might not be wrong. It's just saying, I want to put aside some of this stuff and I want to give some time to you instead, so that a desire for you begins to grow in me. There's a bit more of a taking over of who you are in me. And what you probably end up finding is you won't go back to some of the lifestyle and some of the things here, because there's a new desire that's being cultivated here to want to know God more. But with that, there's a desire, a wanting. So you don't actually want to then go back to this stuff. You know when you're talking to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, and they say, but if I give my life to Jesus, I've got to stop doing this, 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 and this. And I don't want to stop doing that, because then it'd be really boring. And on that side of not being saved through to... But when you're over here and you've known Jesus, you're like, yeah, but when you come to know God, you don't want to do those things anymore. But how do you explain that when somebody's over here saying, well, if I do that, I've got to give up this, 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 this. But over here, you're trying to explain, yeah, but if you did give your life to you wouldn't want to do those things. It's like you have a heart change and therefore your desires change. But over here, somebody's saying, yeah, but I can't get that because I'm not there, I'm here, and I don't really want to give up those things. I think that's what the Christian life is like sometimes. We say, well, I want to know God, but yet there's other things that are going on in our lives here where it's like, but do I really want to I think I really like to be like that, but actually I'm. And I think sometimes, and this is what God is doing with us at this moment, he's calling us to set 40 days aside at the beginning of the year as a trumpet call, if you like, from heaven for us saying, okay, call a fast and to pray and to gather together as an assembly, as a body of people, and to set some time aside to starve some of the, I don't mean starve yourself as in you're going to die, but you need to starve certain things that you give your time to, that maybe not be wrong, but you need to starve some of that and actually feed, use that time and feed yourself on who I am. And let me get a hold of you in a new way, in a greater way. Let me have a firmer grip on your life. And what you'll end up finding is, actually, I want to live like this. This isn't just a 40-day thing we're doing for a bit, but actually, I want to live in this more. And you fuel something. Something begins to get built up. Something begins to grow. Something begins to get established. Your roots go deeper in God. A desire grows up. It becomes stronger. And some of those things here, you're here and you're going, actually, I don't want to do those anymore. Or I don't want to use my time like that anymore. Let's have a look. What does it say in Job 11? It's on the back of the sheet. It actually is the chapter missing on the back there. It says Job 13:19. It should say Job chapter 11, verses 13 to 19. But it says here, yet if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, look at what follows if we respond like that to the Lord. Look at this. Then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. Wow. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. Seems a bit inward to be outward. But actually, that's what God wants. It's like God's saying, I want there to be some upwards, and I'm going to do some work in you, and then something's going to flow out of you. But some people are going to come and court your favor. People are going to want to come. Now, we have preached on this before, and it relates into some stuff in Isaiah 45, where different religions and belief systems to do with it, when it parallels with Egypt, bondage, all those people come over in chains saying, your God is the real God. He you know, we've realized the one you serve actually is the real God and all that follows out of that. But it starts with something that in the natural we think, well, how can that lead to that kind of fruitfulness? But God says, if you devote your heart to him, and stretch out your hands. The word stretch out there means one to stretch out in prayer or in worship, to stand in a position to say, God, I worship you, I honor you. And it's a place of prayer in one sense where you pray, but also the word stretch there is to lie before God or to stretch out before God and to let his weightiness come upon you. That sounds pretty good to me. And that doesn't just mean lie down on the floor, but it means stretch your heart out, put yourself in a position, place yourself in a place where God can say, right, I'm going to come upon you in a fresh way. The tangible presence of who I am is going to come upon you in a fresh way. My weightiness, my glory, if you like, is going to come upon you in a fresh way. And something tangible of me is going to come upon you. You're going to see me or know me in a deeper way, in a different way. That sounds pretty good. Yes. But without any striving. It's something God wants to do. And so as we give ourselves in the next few weeks, devote our hearts to him, stretch out our hands, our lives, give him the space. He might put it, he is, verse 14, probably going to put his finger on things in our lives. But you know, when it talks about there, put away the sin that is in your hand, it might not be, you might not say, well, hang on a minute, I'm not purposely living or acting in a certain way. That's fine. But you know, when you begin to seek the Lord, and you begin to kind of just spend a bit of time saying, God, shine your light on my life. And create in me a pure heart. And what's interesting is God's holy, right? And we are holy in him, But at the same time, we know we are not holy in and of ourselves. And there's stuff that goes on in us that probably doesn't line up with who he is. And, you know, when you begin to seek the Lord, it's not that he wants to shine his light to say, oh, look, well, you know, what happens is you draw near to the light. And more of his light, if you like, is revealed. As you stretch yourself out, it's like more of his light of who he is begins to come upon you and begins to have an effect on you. It lights up some of the areas that you might not have seen before.
Right.
And you realize, it's like, hang on a minute, I didn't realize I had that attitude. Because it might have been hidden under some other things or it's, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? And as there's more light that is dawning on us and God's showing himself, you suddenly realise, hang on a minute, I need to deal with that. But it's not that God's, you know, shining his light saying, what can I show them that's wrong with them now? What can I pick out and make them feel like a little thing now, you know? Actually, God's saying, I want to reveal more of who I am. But as we come to know him like that, we begin to see him in a different way, become more aware of, hang on a minute, that's a bad attitude. Wow, that train of thought, that's not right. And it's not that God's saying, you know, but what our response to it is, God, I don't want that anymore.
That's it. That's right. That's right. That's it.
Because I want the light of who you are to be just shining through my whole life. And your response is then, God, deal with it. Forgive me. I repent. I don't even want that. I don't want that any longer. I want to draw nearer to you. I want to know you. I want that pure heart, that clean heart, whatever it is. And that's how God works. It's not that God's saying, right, now's the time for repentance. Let's bring up a big list of things in your life that are right old mess to make you feel like a whatever. But actually, it's not like that. As we draw near to God, we can't help but see things like that. But actually, it's so that then we get rid of them so that then we can know him more. It's amazing. You know, when you're clean, when you know you're clean before God, we're never going to be perfect in the sense until we're with him for eternity. So there's always going to be something. But if God waited for us to be totally sorted, we wouldn't even be saved yet. So God doesn't say, well, that lot gets in the way of me doing something. Or on one level, it does actually, doesn't it? And as we draw near, he begins to do that. And so he begins to reveal himself and stuff gets dealt with. But we've got to be ready to respond. And allow no evil to dwell in your tent. So those things, God's, are going to happen just as we draw near to him. But the purpose of drawing near to him is not so that we have to repent of everything. It's actually so that we can know him more and whatever he wants to do through our lives to, for others to come and know him also. But it's all the promises that follow. Then you'll lift up your face without shame. Because if he shines his light on you, and you're like, man, get rid of that. I don't want that anymore. Man, that means you can stand before God without any shame, boldly, confidently. He deals with fear, so that doesn't grip your life anymore. There's all kinds of stuff. Trouble, you know, runs away like water going by. Everything changes.
Right.
So it's pretty awesome, eh?
Yeah.
Let's have a quick look at Genesis 26 for a minute. This is not on the back of your sheet, but Genesis 26... just very quickly, there's a couple of verses in there where Isaac is wanting to, he's trying to dig some wells and so he can water have water provision for his family, his household and all his livestock. But he's digging wells and people keep opposing him and he's having hassle with people. But then in verse 22, he moved on from there and dug another well. This is the third one he dug. And no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. So that's one of the things that's going to be happening during the next, you know, as we come into the new year, that it's in one sense, we're going to be digging wells in our lives. You've got the well of salvation in you, okay? What happens when you draw near to the light? There's things that you begin to realize that are blocking some of that well of salvation from really flowing. So what we're going to be doing is there's some unblocking that's going to be happening and getting rid of that so that there's a great release of this well of salvation, God's life in us and through us. All right, is that okay? And then it says, now the Lord has given us room, we will flourish in the land. So the whole purpose of us seeking God, wanting to know him, is so that it leads to flourishing in his promises and in his purposes. In our own lives personally, in our families, in our homes, together as a body of people, in our town, in our community. That the place becomes a place that flourishes and thrives because the people of God are flourishing and thriving. See, if we flourish and thrive, the town will flourish and thrive. If the other churches are doing the same as we are, then it's going to have even more impact on the town and the community. Because if the body of Christ is thriving and flourishing, try and say this without it sounding like I've got a lisp or a speech impediment, it's going to be awesome in terms of what goes on. If God's doing this around the region, what's that mean for our 25-mile radius? So there, it's like God is wanting to make us like an oasis for people. In those times, they would dig a well and they would then center everything around that well, that source of water. We don't have that. We have all kinds of provision in our buildings, homes and everything, so we don't need a well in the same way. But they used to find a well and then have to camp around that so they had what they needed. And in one sense, we have a source of life that the community, the town needs, the region needs, the nation needs. The church in this nation, if we're digging wells in the right way, has a source of life that the nation needs. And so we want to make sure that our well is unplugged, fully clear of any kind of stuff that might hinder anything that could happen, so that there's this gushing, this whatever, overflowing life that is just coming out of who we are. All right, this is what God is doing and wants to do in the new year. Okay, so that we flourish in the land. Let's have a look at Leviticus 26. I'm talking fast because I'm just talking fast. Leviticus 26, love these verses. Verse 3. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands. There's lots of ifs in the Bible. Lots of people say, you know, well, God's unconditional, all of that. No, he ain't. There's loads of ifs in the Bible. In here, where if he says, I'm going to do this, but I need your response of that in order to then do what I want to do. So God's saying, I want to move in your life if you surrender in a fresh way. I'm going to do something more if you get before me and allow me to work in you. I want to do something in your nation if the church will humble itself, get before me, allow me to revive it and work in it. Then you're going to see some stuff take place, all right? So it says here, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season and the ground will yield its crops and the trees of the field their fruit. So God's promising loads of fruitfulness and harvest. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest and the grape harvest will continue until planting. And you will eat all the food you want and live in the safety in your land. So there's a perpetual fruitfulness here. This sounds good to me. I will grant peace in the land and you will lie down and no one will make you afraid. I will remove savage beasts from the land and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies and they will fall by the sword before you. Sounds like God's going to be involved doing some awesome stuff here. 5 of you will chase 100 and 100 of you will chase 10,000 and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and will make you fruitful and increase your numbers. And I will keep my covenant with you. This is pretty good. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. Come on. This is pretty awesome, isn't it? Oh, I've lost where I was now. Verse 11. I will put my dwelling place among you. That's what we want. And I will not abhor you. What a word. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. He says, I'll be a dwelling place. Now, we are already a dwelling place, but I don't know about you, but there's more. And I believe, God is just stirring in us in a fresh way that for a new desire, a longing to know him. And out of that, all this stuff's going to flow. Not just within us as a body, but in all the different spheres of life that we're all in. And there's some great things happening, great things stirring, great things just coming together in different ways around the region, in the county, and in the area. And God's moving. God is doing stuff. But at the same time, there's a trumpet sound, and God is saying, call a holy fast. What does that mean? It just means take time aside from what you normally do, and give me that time instead to do what I want to do. But in order to do what I want to do, I need a bit more time. So just leave some of that stuff and come and spend time with me instead. And let me do what I want to do. Let me speak what I want to speak. And as a result, as we respond, it will probably mean a change of lifestyle. But there's a process that God wants us to go through to do that. I will walk among you. I love that. What a phrase. He doesn't just want to dwell, a dwelling place among us. He says, I then want to walk among you and be your God. That is brilliant. God doesn't just want to presence himself and say, well, I'm here now, everybody. He wants to walk amongst us. That's pretty awesome. I want God to walk in my home. I don't just want God to be there. Well, God's here, you know. I want him to walk around. And wherever he walks, it's a good place to be. I want him to walk amongst us as a people. I want him to walk where we are in our lives, in our workplaces, in whatever sphere we're in. God doesn't just want to presence himself on you. He wants to walk through you. And amongst us. Oh, I think it sounds great. And I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. That's covenant. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. So we're out of all that rubbish so that you would no longer be slaves to all that stuff, whatever it might be. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. So there might be some breaking off of strongholds, of yokes, of whatever in the next few weeks. Some of that might be sickness. Some of that could be all kinds of things in the coming weeks. But God's going to break those things off. But what all we've got to do is position ourselves and say, God, here's some space, here's some time. Now you come and be God, you come and be Lord and do what you want to do. But we're not going to tell you what to do. You come and tell us what you want to do. But you're going to find us responsive to what you want to say and what you want to do. Amen. And God's going to do what he's going to do. And so we've kind of put some, we've got to do some practical stuff, you know, in order for a whole body of people to do this. But in, where are we? In Joel. It's not there, is it? It's at the top, isn't it? Yeah, blow a trumpet. Joel 2, this is. 15 and 16. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children and those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. What does that mean? God's going to come out of where he is. We need to come out of what we normally do, and God's going to meet us somewhere and we're going to have an encounter with him. He's saying, I'm not preparing myself anymore, and you're not preparing ourselves. Now it's time to come and meet. Now it's time to come together. That's what he's saying. And as we come together, then something's going to happen with us and with God, individually together with him, okay? So just to look at some real practical things on here, okay? What we've kind of done is we're starting on Tuesday the 4th, which is a Tuesday, going through to Saturday the 12th of February, okay? And we've put a number of things in that, so that we're all doing this as a church, okay? Just the bottom line, which is fairly straightforward, okay? Now, we're going to have here Monday to Saturday every morning at 6 o'clock for an hour, a time of prayer. Now, obviously, I know some people, you know, there's lots of practical stuff in life, but what we're saying is, there's going to be an hour or so of coming to pray, meet with God, worship, pray, whatever God wants to do in those times. We want to come together, and if you can make those times, great, or alternate if you're married with your husband or wife and work some things out practically. If you live quite a distance away and you think, well, I can't necessarily get there at six, maybe just get up, you know, and spend that hour with God, you know, if you live quite a distance away and it's not easy to get here. And you say, well, that tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up and spend some time while whoever's going to be in the building in Horsham, I'm going to just be in my lounge and I'm going to just meet with God here, knowing that people are meeting with God there. And so, if you can do that, great. And you want to do that, 6 in the morning. Sundays are still going to be here at 7:30 to pray. But what we want to do is so that everybody is part of the 40 days, what we want to do is everybody, at least one, every day is to miss one meal. Okay? So instead of feeding ourselves naturally, we want to feed ourselves spiritually. And so, you know, it'd be easy to say, well, I'll just fast one day a week on the Tuesday, because we're going to have Tuesday as a day of fasting where we fast all day, all three meals, as a church. And some people might say, well, I'll just do that. But actually, God's calling us to pray and fast for 40 days. He's not saying to us, fast fully for 40 days, okay? He's not saying that. He might say that to a handful of people in the church or whatever, But what he's calling us to is 40 days to set ourselves aside from the normal lifestyle and schedule that we have and say, right, instead of that, this is going to be my or our schedule for the next 40 days. And so corporately, what we're saying is just at least one meal a day. Okay, it could be breakfast, lunch, dinner, whenever. But instead, spend that time with the Lord. Okay, and give him that space instead and saying, God, whatever you want to do in me, okay? And spend some time, you know, with him. Some you might say, well, I'm going to go to the 6 till 7 and not have breakfast and whatever. Okay, that's great. But what I want to encourage everybody to do is at least on your own, every day, spend some time with him. Okay? Because what we're doing is we're calling a holy fast. We're saying we're going to set some time aside. So we need to actually schedule our lifestyle a little bit differently over the next few weeks. Okay? So that's a daily thing we all want to do. Some people say, well, what about the children? If you've got kids, obviously we're not asking the children to fast. And I don't know if you're happy with this, but I would say if you're over 16, then you're probably all right to miss one meal a day. But if you're under 16... if it's parents, it's up to you what you do with your kids. But I think anybody under 15, 16, 15, there might be a little bit of something where you say to your kids, okay, let's pray as a family and ask your children, well, ask God, what would he want you maybe to get out in terms of not missing a meal necessarily, but God might say to any kids, don't eat chocolate for the next 40 days or don't drink Coke. I mean, don't drink it anyway. But anyway, don't drink, you know, Coke for the next 40 days. Or something like that, okay, where your kids know, I'm part of this thing, and instead of eating chocolate, or instead of eating sweets, or instead of drinking Coke, I don't know, it's just something where they say, right, well, I'm not going to do that, because instead, as part of the church and as part of my family, I'm going to say, Jesus, I want to give you a bit of time. And so I'm not going to eat that or drink that like I normally do, and instead, because I want to give myself to you and what you want to do. In me or in my family or as part of the church. I mean, is that okay? Yeah. So rather than saying, you know, because I think obviously kids, they need to eat and all of that. So it's just one kind of practical thing. So we're going to start these 40 days of prayer with Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the first week of January, 4th, 5th and 6th, with three encounter nights here. And we're just to really launch the whole thing. We're seeking the Lord and giving some space for God to just start something as well as the 6 o'clock prayer meetings those days as well. But then at the end, what we're going to do is on the Friday night, from the Friday to the Saturday, we're going to have a night of prayer. I don't think we've done that before all night, or certainly not in the last few years. But on that Friday night, we're going to meet at 10 p.m., go right through to 5 in the morning, and spend a night praying, meeting with God, and kind of just finishing the 40 days like that. And then we'll have breakfast on the Saturday morning for those that want to eat. If you don't want to eat, that's fine. But so we're going to kind of finish with a night of prayer in that way. Is that okay? Yes. So what are we saying? There are 6 o'clock meetings every morning if you want to come here and you can make it. We're going to miss one meal a day and give that time to the Lord. On Tuesday, it's going to be a fast day so that we all kind of fast for the day. And I want to encourage you, if you're going to fast, the whole idea is to spend time with the Lord. It's not just to miss a meal and not eat because you'll just feel hungry. And I don't like feeling hungry, probably like you don't either. So use that time instead. It doesn't mean you've got to pray for an hour at lunchtime. It might mean you pray for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Or whatever. Read the word a bit. Let God speak to you. Write some things down. Worship a little bit, or whatever you can do. Okay, and it's just fueling a desire. And what you'll find is things will start happening and you'll find, actually, I want to spend a bit more time. Or you don't necessarily think about the clock in the same way as you might do now with what might happen. And then, so on those Tuesdays, the fast days, there will be a 40, 45 minutes up at the Roffey Place, up at the college, to pray if people want to gather there, if they can make it. And then in the evening on those Tuesdays, we're just going to have an hour or so where we meet here to pray. And to really meet with the Lord. So at least one time a week, we're going to do that. And then on the Sunday mornings, we're also going to just make more space for things on the Sunday mornings during January and those first couple of weeks of February and just see what God wants to do. So it'll be less about, you know, preach and all of that and whatever, but just really open it up and see how God wants to move on all of those mornings. Is that okay? So just at the bottom there, a couple of types of fast. There's a full fast here where you don't eat anything for 40 days. You just have liquids. If that is something you really believe God is speaking to you about, I believe if you're going to do 40 days, you need a word from God for it. Otherwise, you're going to have a really hard time. If God speaks to you, he's going to grace you. And so if you believe God's speaking to you, if you could just talk to one of the leadership, okay, and let us know, because we just want to know. We're not going to publicise it or anything, but we just need to know who believes it's right, you know, to do fast for 40 days, okay? Because it's quite a thing to do, and especially if you've never done it before or you've really not done much fasting. But you really need a word from God for it, okay? Because he'll tell you why you're doing it as well, not just fast for 40 days. It's why, and he'll speak. So if you can talk to us, that would be great. The other one is quite a lot of people do kind of the Daniel fast, where you just eat fruit and vegetables at meal times instead of everything else, and liquid or water. And but that's something where, again, it's a very definite. I'm just going to have a bit of a detox as well that goes on in your body when you do that. But I'm just going to give up that sort of stuff and really just give myself to the Lord in that way over the 40 days. That's great if you want to do that. The other thing, just briefly, which is not really fasting, I believe God's talking to us more about food-related fast this time. But for some of us, you might think, actually, I want to get into the Word a bit more. And so you might actually make some decisions and say, right, actually, I don't know if you generally go to bed at a certain time or you get up at a certain time, but you might say, actually, I want to give space to the Word, so I'm not going to watch the TV as much, or if there's a certain program you might watch, well, I'm not going to watch. Instead, I'm just going to go and read the Word instead, or I'm just going to get up half an hour earlier. I'm just going to go and read the Word and get into the Word and just feed on the Word in a fresh way. So you might give up a little bit of TV or a little bit of sleep or something where you're actively saying, right, I want to fuel this relationship with the Lord. Obviously, in your time of the Lord, you're going to be reading the Word, but there might just be something in you where you're like, I want a new hunger for the Word. The best way to get a hunger for the Word is to read it.
That's right.
Don't pray and ask God for a hunger for the Word. He'll just say, well, read it.
That's right.
That's what he'll say to you. God, I want a great hunger for the Word. And he'll say, brilliant, read it. So just read it. And what you'll find is you get a hunger for the Word. Is that all right? So hopefully that explains a few things and just puts some things in place. There are some other scriptures there. And when we gather together at different times, whenever that is, some of it will be meeting with God personally. Some of it will be praying for the nation or whatever. I don't know. We just want to be open to however the Holy Spirit wants to do things. In these meetings in the mornings, there might be a flow of something for a few days where God's doing this and for 4, 5, 6 days in a row. And then God said one morning, right, we're going to shift it now and it's going to flow like this. So we're not saying all the meetings are going to be like this or like that. We want the Holy Spirit to have free kind of reign to do whatever he wants to do in us and amongst us. Is that okay? We're going to have times probably when God just turns up and we're like, whoa. There's other times where we're going to be swinging off the chandeliers, probably whatever. I don't mind. What I want is God to do what he wants to do. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I know the kids are finishing in a few minutes, but let's just, in one sense, set ourselves up, not just this morning, but over the next Christmas time. I know it's a time of relaxing, chilling out, and all of that. But let's not wait till the new year to kind of say, well, I'll just do whatever, and then when it comes to the 4th of January, I'll lock into what God wants to do. I believe God wants to do a little bit of preparation over the next few weeks. So in terms of just preparing our hearts. And so I think all of us want to know God more, don't we? And so there's already that desire there. And what we're talking about is just putting fuel on that desire. Fueling that desire with who he is. So I think just as we respond to the Lord this morning, just to at least begin and just say, Father, I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm available for whatever you want to do, whatever you want to speak to me about. How many of you want to live more fully in his light? the reality of that light. We know the truth that we are in the light. We're not of the darkness anymore. We are of the light. But we want the radiance of that light to be so much more real and tangible and evidenced in our lives in a greater way. So, Father, I thank you for these coming days. Father, there is going to be the throwing off of things that hinder and sin that can so easily entangle. But that's so that we can live more fully in the light and in the freedom of who you are and what you're doing in our lives. To just give yourself afresh to him and just tell him that you're available. Tell him that you're willing. I think, you know, God, I grant me a willing spirit, O God. Grant me a willing spirit.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Beginning of Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And basically saying, wherever I go, it doesn't matter where I go, you are there. He's saying, I don't want to flee from it. What he's saying is, God, whatever's going on, wherever I am, whatever's happening, you are there to meet with me, to lift me, to do what you want to do in my life. And so there was a cry in his heart. Where can I go that you are not there? Because you fill everything in every way with who you are, or wherever you're there. So, Father, I thank you that over these coming weeks, we just prepare ourselves in different ways. Just begin to even feel that desire from today onwards. Just begin to give you that time even from now. Father, we thank you for a Christmas time that is really filled with your presence. Any relationships that need to be restored will be restored. Any things that need to be have healing in and relate, there'll be a healing going on. Father, I thank you that there's going to be unblocking of wells, of any hindrances, things in our lives in these coming weeks. That well of salvation is just going to flow in a fresh way through our life, individually and corporately. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your grace over these next few weeks. As we just pray and ask you, is there anything particular that you're wanting us to, how you want us to respond, as well as the corporate stuff that we're all going to do and the time that we can give? Is there anything specifically that you're saying to any of us individually about how you want us to respond on top of all that stuff? What you're saying to us personally? Whether you want us to fast any other days or what you might want us to do in response to what you're saying. So, Father, I thank you that you speak clearly to people. They hear your voice and know what you're saying. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, there might be some of you this morning here, you don't know Jesus, and you're thinking, well, you know, what is all this stuff? And you think, wow, this is pretty heavy, you know, or serious, or this is pretty full on. 40 days of living like that. And maybe some of you have been the last few weeks and God's been working in your life and you just know, I want to give my life to Jesus already, and that's already pumping in your heart. And we're just going to take a few moments so we can respond to the Lord. You might be someone that's gone away from the Lord and you're saying, I want to get right with him and I want to get things sorted. I've lost my peace. I've lost that walk with him. And I know he never leaves me or forsakes me, but I know I'm not walking in that, and I want to come right back to that and live in the good of who he is. And it, you know, if you wanted to respond this morning, I just want to, if wherever you are, if you know you want to respond, just raise one of your hands for a moment so I can see where you are. I just want to pray with you and pray for you. If there's anybody, you know, I want to give my life to the Lord, respond, or you're saying, I know I need to get right with God. Anybody this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray right now for every one of us in the place, whether we know you or not. Father, I thank you that you reveal who you are in a fresh way into all of our lives. Father, I thank you do new things in these days, that we're just going to be more aware of the tangible presence of who you are. That the fear of God or the awe of God, the reverence of who you are is going to be even stronger than we've ever known before. In our homes, in our lives, when we come together. Thank you, Jesus, that with that is going to be such a release of joy and freedom and liberty. That our lives, this place, whenever we gather, wherever it's life groups and everything, they're just going to be humming with life, with your presence, with joy, with such a, this is who God is. This is what he's doing. This is what's happening. He is awesome. He's amazing. Father, I thank you for joy-filled lives and people in a fresh way. As you go deeper in our lives, there's more of your life that flows in us and through us. So, Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome, wonderful, mighty name. Come on, let's just thank you for who he is, how awesome he is. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.